May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 905. My heart by nature is a stone, and unconcerned can look upon eternal misery. Feels no affection for the Lord, takes no impression from his word, but lumpish is and dry. 905.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the Song of Solomon and chapters 1 and 2. The first and second chapters of Solomon's Song. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. As the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black. Because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphire in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green, the beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we desire now a company of the poor guilty sons and daughters of Adam to bow before thy great and thy glorious majesty. For thou art God over all and blessed forevermore. And we read of thee in thy word, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Great God, truly there is a great gulf between us and thee. For Lord, we are born in sin. We are shapen in iniquity. We often have to say with the dear apostle, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We often have to echo with the prophet of old, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is no soundness in my flesh. Great God, what a true witness this is that we find in thy holy word concerning our state and our condition by nature. But as we come together around the word of God, we have revealed in thy word the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless thee for those wonderful words of grace, for there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Oh, thou great God, we bless thee for these wonderful words of grace, that there is a new and living way that has been made in the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only hope of our salvation. Thou art my rock and my fortress, my strong and my high tower, and unto thee shall I continually resort. Great God, we come to thee in that wonderful name, in that precious name, in that name that is full of grace and truth. We come and we plead the precious blood and merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. We desire, O Lord, to come in thankfulness. We desire to come and bless thy name. O bless the Lord my soul. Let all within me join to praise and bless his holy name, whose favours are divine. We bless thee for the incarnation of the Son of God. We bless thee that he was made of a woman and made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. We bless thee for that holy law that he has fulfilled, honoured and magnified. Oh, the wonder and the glory of his name and the fullness of that everlasting righteousness that is in him. We bless thee for the sacred sacrifice of Calvary, for the Garden of Gethsemane, for a suffering Saviour. We thank thee, most gracious Father, that thou hast laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, thou great God, We bless thee for the glory, the fullness of Gethsemane. And we thank thee that there he took our sins and he took them and nailed them to his cross. He hath put away sin by that one glorious offering of himself, that precious blood he shed that cleanses from all sin, that reconciles a poor sinner unto God, that makes nigh. Oh, thou great God, we desire to enter thy gates with praise and with the voice of thanksgiving for that new and living way that thou hast made. He died for our sins and rose again for our justification and has ascended into glory. That dear, precious Redeemer, that holy God-man, that glorious mystery of godliness, now sitting at thy right hand, he hath made a new and a living way into the holy place. Those everlasting gates have lifted up their heads, and the King of glory has entered in. Oh, most gracious Lord, we desire a spirit of thanksgiving, of blessing unto thee for thy wonderful mercy and for thy glorious grace. We thank thee that through him we receive the wonderful and sacred gift of the Holy Ghost. We bless thee, most blessed Spirit of truth, for thy divine work in our hearts. We thank thee that thou hast convicted and convinced us of our sin, and thou dost still convict and convince us of our sin, and witness in our hearts of our corrupt condition. But oh, we thank thee that thou dost take the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. We bless thee for thy glorious work in our hearts. And we pray that thou wouldst come this evening hour, that thou wouldst come and grant thy divine anointing in the pulpit and in the pew, that we may be given words to speak, that we may be given ears to hear, that we may be given hearts to receive the word of God. Holy, divine and blessed Spirit, we do pray that thou wouldst so be with us here this evening hour, and that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst guide us into thy truth. We thank thee that in Jesus Christ we know and we experience the precious love of a heavenly Father. O most gracious eternal Father, we do thank thee for thy glorious love that thou hast manifest in thy Son. We thank thee for thy love and thy mercy that thou hast sent in thy Son. And we come together this evening hour, O Lord, and we seek that true worship. We pray thy rich blessing upon this people, that thou wouldst bless them with those rich spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We pray that thou wouldst be with thy servants as they come in and out among them, and grant that they may break the bread of life, and that there may be that gracious determination to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, we pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst so help thy servants as they come in and out among this people, that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. And we pray that thou wouldst grant this people a living, settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. And we pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, to send true labourers into the harvest and build the walls of Jerusalem, and send out thy light and thy truth, and return in thy power and in thy glory as thou usest to be in the sanctuary, that we may see thy goings in the sanctuary, that we may see that wonderful work of thy Spirit in the sanctuary. Precious souls brought into subjection unto Christ, the fulfilling of that sacred word, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Build up thy people in their most holy faith. Grant that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Grant that there was cause the prodigals to return, and thy almighty power and grace to be seen in this. O Lord, do hear us in heaven, thy holy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Grant that the light and the glory and the power of the gospel may shine into this village and into the surrounding villages and hamlets, and that thy gospel may be mighty and powerful, and that we may see the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan and the setting up of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus in the hearts of sinners. Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Bring our sons from far and our daughters from the ends of the earth, O Lord of hosts, O God of Israel, O thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, and come and save us, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. As we read, Lord Jesus, when thou wast here upon earth, there was a needs be for thee to go through Samaria. We pray that there may be a needs be at this evening hour, that thou wast passed through Swasey, and that thou wast pour us out a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it. We pray for those in darkness, that they may be brought into light, and those in bondage may be brought into liberty, and those far off may be made nigh. O thou great God, hear our prayers, we do beseech thee. Let our cry come unto thee for thy great name's sake. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine. Forgive all our sins and our backslidings and our ill manners in this wilderness journey. O Lord, we do beseech thee. We pray that thou wouldst constrain one and another to come forth and to testify of the wonders of redeeming love, of the fullness of that salvation and love that there is in Christ Jesus, and to follow thee in the ways of thy house, in the ordinances of the sanctuary. Impress upon their hearts, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Gracious God, we pray, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst bless and undertake and heal the afflicted, and that thou wouldst be gracious, O Lord, and use the afflictions that may be in our body or in our minds, that thou wouldst use them to the glory of thy name, to the humbling of ourselves, and that thou wouldst be Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Great God, incline thine ear, we do beseech thee. Bless the little ones and the children that are brought into the sanctuary. Bless the dear young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life journey. Bless them with thy rich grace. Guide them by thy counsel. Teach them thy truth. We do humbly beseech thee. Bless and undertake for all in the midst of the journey of life. Deliver us from the temptations of the wicked one. Deliver us from the power and dominion of sin. And graciously bring us into closer union and communion with Jesus Christ. O Lord, we do beseech thee. O we pray to be made more spiritually minded, and that our affections may be set upon things above. Be with those in old age and its attendant weaknesses and infirmities, and undertake, O Lord, we do beseech thee. Be with us now as we turn to the word of God. Come and open thy word unto our heart and to our understanding, and grant that we may delve into the deep that coucheth beneath, and that thou wouldst touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask in that wonderful name, that precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 918. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who their native vileness see, they are all taught sin's demerit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. 918.
Oh,
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the second chapter of the Song of Solomon and to the verse 10. Solomon's Song, chapter 2, verse 10. We'll read for our text just the first three words. My beloved spake. The whole verse reads, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. But it was particularly these three words that have rested upon my spirit to bring before you here tonight. My beloved spake. The Song of Solomon's, it's often been spoken of, especially the godly old Puritans, they speak of it as being the holy of holies of the scriptures. And the reason being is the only entrance that you can ever have really, so that we begin to understand the language, is as in an experimental way, you are brought into the truth of what is contained in this sacred Hebrew poetry. And it is a love song. And it's a love song concerning Christ and his church, the bride and the bridegroom. The bridegroom, of course, is Christ, and the bride is the church of God. And if you and I know anything of a spiritual nature of these things in our hearts, if the Holy Ghost has quickened your soul into life, and you have spiritual life, and you know what it is to have spiritual breathings and spiritual desires and spiritual needs, it is then that you will begin to understand something of the sacred language. When the Lord first brought me into a concern, when I was under what we call the law, I had no light in my heart. Nothing but darkness and bondage. And I remember one day I sat down and I read right the way through Solomon's Song. And I closed the book and I remember saying, I do not understand a syllable of what I've read. I didn't even begin to understand what it meant. I couldn't understand it at all. It was such a strange, peculiar language that I was reading, and I had no insight in it whatsoever. But the time came after about 2 years when the Lord in his infinite mercy revealed Christ unto me. And when Christ was revealed unto me, why friends, I began to look again at Solomon's Song and to read Solomon's Song, and I began in a living sacred way to begin to understand the meaning of the language of this sacred poetry. And what was so precious to me and so wonderful to me were these prayers in the first chapter. They were made so sweet to me. There was something in my soul that understood them. Let him kiss me. Why that? That's exactly what I wanted. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, why was it that I began to understand? Because Christ had been revealed. Because that faith that worketh by love had been wrought in my heart. And Christ was made so precious. He became the altogether lovely one. He became the chiefest among 10,000. And my soul was running hard after him. And so when I read these prayers, oh, they were so sweet to my soul. I could understand what they meant. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. You see, the only entrance that we can have. And I can see the godly old Puritans and what they meant. The only entrance that we can have into Solomon's song is when we experimentally enter into the truth. When Christ has been revealed, when Christ has been made precious. And then you begin to understand the language of this beautiful poetry. Draw me. Why? You see, draw me. That's exactly what a living soul feels to need. They feel the need to be drawn into spiritual things. They feel the need to be drawn to Christ. And so she says, draw me. It's that desire for that spiritual life and light. And then we read here in verse 7, tell me. Oh, this is the language of a living soul. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? She wanted to know where the Lord would have her to be. When it says, where thou feedest, what it means is where thou feedest thy people, thy children. And she wanted to be where the Lord would feed her soul. She wanted to settle in that flock where her soul would be fed. And so she says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou wilt feed me, where there is spirit, life and power in the ministry of the word, where there is a people that I can feel a love to, a union to, and have communion with in the things of God. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou wilt feed my soul, where thou makest thy flock to rest. You know, it's a very precious thing when the Lord gives us a spiritual home. And when we feel a spirit of love, of union, of communion with the Lord's people. When we can say, as the language of the hymn writer, hear my best friends, my kindred dwell, hear God, my Saviour reigns. You feel at home among the Lord's people. It's a very sacred blessing to be given there. That love to the Lord's people. Now, the Lord Jesus, he answers her immediately when she prays, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. What is the footsteps of the flock? It's the footsteps of Christ. The church, the spouse, the bride, she follows Christ. He's the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And he goes before his sheep. And they walk in his footsteps. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Following Christ. Following Christ. Are you following Christ? Are you like the sweet psalmist of old? My soul followeth hard after thee, O God. Tell me. You see, the living soul, they desire, they have these breathings within their heart, and they long to be near Christ, and they long to be where he would have them to be. You see here in the second chapter, I am the Rose of Sharon. The Rose of Sharon was a very beautiful, perfumed rose. Beautiful to look upon, but it also had a most sweet perfume. Who is speaking? It's Christ Sometimes in the Song of Solomon, it is difficult to tell who is speaking. But there's no doubt it's Christ that is speaking. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. You think of that, the apple tree. It says here, and it's the spouse that is speaking, as it says here, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow, sitting under the shadow of Christ. Sheltering beneath that precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Sheltering beneath the precious blood, sheltering beneath the glorious everlasting righteousness of Jesus Christ. These are the sacred fruits of the life and of the sacrifice and the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He did these things for his people, to redeem them and to deliver them. And when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, and the eyes of your understanding are enlightened, and you begin to see these things, Jesus is the way to bliss. You see, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so that living soul begins to see it's Christ is the way. It's Christ that I need. It's Christ that I long to lay hold of. That they begin to understand the language of that dear woman when she pressed through the crowd and she said, if I might but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made completely whole. See, something had been revealed to her already. She knew where she got to go. She knew that salvation was in Christ. She knew that healing was in Christ. Redemption that was in Christ. Hence she said, if I might but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Wonderful thing if the Lord has given you that. And if that is the very longing of your soul, you keep pressing on. The apostle says, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the faith of the Lord's people, it is not an intellectual faith. There is such a thing as intellectual faith. And the apostle speaks of it, and he says, the letter killeth. By that he means, as the person just reads this blessed book and intellectually receives its truths and thinks they're in the right way. He says, the letter killeth. The Spirit maketh alive. The Holy Ghost quickens the soul. It's made alive. And so that living soul has living desires, hungerings and thirstings, and they watch and they wait and they seek. They seek. They seek salvation. They seek redemption. And the Spirit of God, he gradually leads them on and he shows them. He reveals to them where that redemption is, where that salvation is. And there's a measure of light that is given to them. If you were to speak to them, they wouldn't say, I'm a Christian believer, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But they know what it is to see something in Christ, a loveliness in Christ, that they desire Christ, they long for Christ. They hunger and thirst after Christ. They can understand the language of the hymn, give me Christ or else I die. That's the longing of a living soul. the Lord Jesus becomes so precious to them in the desire after him. Now that soul has been quickened. You would never have such longings and desires after Christ if the Spirit of God had not given you life. And that is the first glimmerings of living faith in the heart. You see that he's the one thing needful. You hear him preached. You read of him in the Word of God. And you read that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Lord, wash me in that precious blood, is the language of your soul. And you read of that glorious, everlasting righteousness of Christ. And you say, Lord, clothe me in that glorious, everlasting righteousness of Christ. Because you know and feel yourself to be a poor sinner. You know and feel yourself to be undone. You know and feel yourself to be unclean. You know and feel yourself to be unrighteous. But oh, there's that longing desire in your heart to lay hold of that righteousness of Christ. It's all the sacred divine work of the Spirit of God. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. You see, to be brought to sit down under his shadow. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. You think of the apple tree, it produces fruit. It says here, his fruit was sweet to my taste. We read in Scripture the words of Christ, from me is thy fruit found. From me is thy fruit found. It's from God, from Christ. And shadow, the windy storm and tempest, or the beating down of the midday sun, to sit under the shadow, the midday sun of trial, of temptation, of trouble, of perplexity, of sorrow, of grief, of loss. It's like a midday sun that beats down on you. But then to sit under his shadow, to know a little respite from that midday sun, I sat down. What a resting place. What a good resting place. What a secure resting place. Because this glorious apple tree, this beloved, this person, this work of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the eternal rock of ages, immovable. There's safety, there's security, there's salvation, there's redemption, there's everlasting righteousness, there's the forgiveness of sins, all upon this eternal rock of ages. And there's the longing, desire in the heart to know that salvation, to know the power of that precious blood washing away all your sins. We need to be careful, you know, friends, and in these particular things. The devil so tempted me. It was the day after the Lord brought me into gospel liberty, and those words were breathed into my heart by the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a living hope, a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And, you know, the devil tempted me. It was the next morning as I was about my daily work. All that you feel, the love, the blessing in Christ, it's false. It's not right. Because you've never been washed in the blood of Christ. You've never known the power of the blood of Christ. Therefore, your religion is a fallacy. There's nothing in it. It's all emotion. And you know, friends, how I had to pray and to seek that the Lord would show me and lead me and guide me and direct me. It was the line of a hymn that completely broke the snare of Satan. every blessing, every favour freely flows through Jesus' precious blood. That completely broke the snare. I could see so clearly that those sacred blessings that the Lord had brought into my soul, they came by virtue of the precious blood of Christ. It's a very sacred thing. I remember speaking on that many years ago now, Easter Monday services at Allington, and there was a dear lady there in her 80s. And I related what I've just told you. And she wrote me a most beautiful letter the following week. It wasn't actually long before she died. I'd been struggling for years and for years on that very point. You're not a true child of God because you've not actually been washed in the blood of Christ. And she said, as you were preaching and explaining what the Lord delivered you from, I was delivered also. She said, oh, the sweetness. I could see all those blessings and favours that the Lord had granted to me came by virtue of the precious blood of Christ. You see, we have a very, very cunning, very deceitful enemy. And he brings all manners of thoughts into our hearts. Especially if we're under the blessing of the Lord, he'll put all manner of thoughts into your heart. You see, it says here, he brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. I was thinking of this yesterday morning when I was seeking to prepare for today's service. And my mind, it was taken back to that first time that the Lord Jesus was revealed to me. And I'd been up for what we say 2 years under the law, under a solemn and awful sense of condemnation, darkness, bondage, sin. That's all I'd ever known. And then one afternoon I came in from work and I was utterly and absolutely finished in my feelings. I couldn't take another step. There was nobody at home. I remember standing in the living room at home at Westerning and I thought, I cannot go another step. The burden of sin, the darkness and the bondage that I felt to be in, it seemed as if it would almost crush me to despair. And I picked a book of sermons off my father's bookshelf. It happened to be J.C. Philpott's Gospel Pulpit. And this was the text. And as I read the text, the scales fell off my eyes and light and life and liberty flowed into my heart. It's in Ephesians 3 verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. May be able to comprehend, to know the love of Christ. Oh, that wonderful love of Christ. Infinite love, eternal love. He's full of grace. You think of the grace of love, and Christ is full of that love. He is indeed. His left hand, says in verse 6 here, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Remember, we have two lovers here. His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. Left hand blessings are those rich, sacred blessings of providence. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His left hand is under my head. He supports, he sustains his people here upon earth with everything needful and necessary for them. Then his right hand doth embrace me. The right hand blessings are those sacred spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. His right hand doth embrace me. Those rich blessings of his love, of his grace, of his mercy, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. These are the right hand blessings. Christ made precious to your soul. So that you can say, feelingly, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. He's everything to you. And so he is to the living child of God. He's everything. All that you stand in need of, you see, they're in Christ. In yourself, you see nothing but sin. In him, you see nothing but love. Nothing but grace, nothing but forgiveness, nothing but salvation, peace. And then we come through this chapter, the voice of my beloved. She hears him. She hears him a little distance away from her. The voice. She can't see him yet, but she can hear his voice. It's a very wonderful thing when you can hear the voice of Jesus. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh. There was an expectation raised up in her heart. Behold, he cometh. She could hear his voice. Behold, he cometh. She was in anticipation of him coming. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh. Leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills, those mountains of impossibility, those mountains of sin, those mountains of unbelief, those mountains of darkness. He comes skipping over the mountains. He's like a, as it says here in verse 9, my beloved is like a rower, a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. You see, they're very fleet of foot. It's following on from what we read before here. He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills, like a roe or a young hart. He standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. You know, the lattice on the window. And he shows it. She gets fleeting glimpses of him. Have you had a fleeting glimpse of Christ? Has there been raised up in your heart some sense of expectation, of desire? When perhaps you've been reading in the Word of God and you get a little glimpse of the Beloved, you hear his voice at a distance. You have some movement of soul under perhaps the preaching of the word, and you're drawn to Christ. You can't say you've laid hold of him, but you feel such a drawing to him. And it seems to quicken in your soul that desire, that longing to know him. Like the apostle says, that I may know him in the power. And that's what you want. You want to know the power. You don't just want to know about Jesus Christ. You don't just want to know about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You don't want to just know about the cross of Christ. Good and excellent as those things are, you don't just want to. You want to have the experience of it in your heart. You hear his love. You want the experience of his love in your soul. You hear of that glorious sacrifice where sin has been put away. You want to know, did he suffer, bleed, and die for me? You want to know, was it for crimes that I had done? He hung and suffered there. And you see, this is these fleeting sights or glimpses you get of the beloved, my beloved. And this lattice of the word, that's the word of God. And Christ revealing himself in the word of God. And we find Christ from Genesis to Revelation in the word of God. And we have glimpses of him in the Word of God. Have you had glimpses of Christ? When your heart has leapt with a sense of anticipation, you felt him to be so precious, and then perhaps it's just gone away. But you felt such a deep, sweet sense that longing, that yearning after him. And you say, come again, Lord. You see, when he shows himself through the lattice of his word, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows. He showeth himself through the lattice. And then, my beloved spake. When he speaks, it's a wonderful thing. When you hear the voice of Christ, when he speaks, where the word of a king is, there is power. And when Jesus speaks, there is power. It has a tremendous effect in your soul, in your heart, when he speaks the word. You think of the record that we have in Genesis chapter 1 of the creation of the world. And God said, you see, and when God spake, it was done. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That mighty voice of the eternal God. That was the voice of Christ in creation. He spake and it was done. Now, if that same almighty voice that speaks into the heart of the Lord's children, the beloved speaks. Have you heard his voice? I was thinking of that, you know, what the Lord Jesus Christ, he sets before us in the 10th chapter in the Gospel according to John. And he speaks there of the voice of the Good Shepherd. And how that the Lord's people hear that voice. And he says, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That, of course, is Christ. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. He speaks to them personally by name. And leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him. It's a mark of one of the sheep of Christ. They're following Christ. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow. Where I used to live, it was near a big stud. And in the winter they used to have the sheep from Romney Marsh, and they would winter them up in this stud. And I used to walk my dog around that area, and I used to see the shepherd come every morning, and he would go to the gate and he would speak, and all the sheep would gather around the gate. See, they knew his voice. He was the shepherd. I was up there all on my own one morning, and I thought, I'm going to see what happens. So I got onto the gate. There were the sheep all grazing, and I called. And they ran to the farthest corner of the field. You see, they didn't know my voice. They ran the opposite direction. Do you know the voice of the Good Shepherd? And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Mark that. You will not walk alone. He goes before you. You follow the shepherd in the way that he leads you. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You see, the Lord Jesus, he goes on, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Christ is the good shepherd. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is most clearly illustrated when the Lord Jesus Christ, having in the Garden of Gethsemane, having laid upon him the iniquity of us all, he then came forth out of the Garden of Gethsemane, and they came with swords and staves to take him. And Peter took a sword and he cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And the Lord Jesus says, put thy sword up in its sheath, the cup that my Father giveth me. Shall I not drink it? Could I not have called on 12 legions of angels and destroyed all these men? But no, the cup that my Father hath given me, I must drink it. You see, he willingly went. He said, I have power. Some people in a foolish way, some Christian preachers in a foolish way, they try and speak of the Lord Jesus dying in weakness, dying under the terrible hands of the Romans. My beloved friends, he suffered, he bled, and he died for his people because he would. He could have destroyed all those men with one word. But he willingly went to the cross of Calvary. He willingly suffered and bled and died for the sins of his people. I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again. That holy human life that the Son of God assumed in the womb of the Virgin Mary, that is the life he laid down. That is the life he laid down. That is the life he offered. On the cross of Calvary, on the altar of his divinity, he offered a glorious, holy, pure, and righteous sacrifice. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever all them that are sanctified. They're perfected in Christ. In that glorious, holy sacrifice, he's paid the redemption price. And he laid down his life. He died for our sins. And he rose again for our justification. He had power to do that. He willingly did that on the behalf of his people. It says here in John chapter 10, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Oh, the safety and the security of the Church of God, built upon the eternal rock of ages, our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. My beloved spake. I was thinking of Moses at the Red Sea, and they had the mountains either side when he was at Pi Hahiroth, and all the children of Israel, the Red Sea in front of them, the mountains either side of them, and the Egyptian army, all of Pharaoh's mighty men of war, were coming up behind them. What a condition they were found in, weren't they? What an impossibility. And they cried unto Moses. They said, surely the Lord has brought us into the wilderness to slay us. And Moses cried unto the Lord. And the Lord said to him, why criest thou unto me? Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Why, that's impossible. Maybe that's where you are tonight. You say it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. And he will go before you. He will make the crooked things straight. He will make the rough places plain. He will unfold the way before you. He will make a way where there seems no way, where it looks absolutely impossible. My beloved spake. He speaks. Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward, even though you feel it's an impossible thing, that they go forward. The just shall live by his faith. He said to Joshua when he was by the River Jordan that they were to go forward. Now, there was the Red Sea. Why, that looked impossible. There's Jordan in summer when it bursts its banks. It's in a flood. And the Lord says to Joshua, go over. Take the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth and cross over this Jordan. Why, that looks utterly impossible. But Joshua commanded the priests, the Levites, to take the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth and to cross over Jordan. And they went forward. That was a full flowing river. And they went forward. And as soon as their feet touched the waters parted. And the children of Israel passed over as on dry land. You see, the Lord, he didn't wait until it was a tiny little river that could have easily been forded. He waited until it was a flood. And you may be in just that situation. You've come to a situation and you say, it's utterly impossible. However can I go forward? Go forward. The Lord will make his goodness pass. My beloved spake. And it's your beloved. He loves you with an everlasting love. And not only that, he's promised to go before you. And he will go before you. And he will make those crooked things straight. And he will make those rough places plain. He will be the God of all grace unto you. It's the voice of your beloved. It's the voice of your beloved. I love that word in Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. That's Christ. That's Christ. It says in the next but one verse, he will not fail. He won't fail you. You know, the just shall live by his faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for yet not seen. If you're walking by faith, you're walking in hope, in love. He won't fail you. He will go before you. He'll supply all your needs. He'll give you everything needful and necessary. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up. Just like the children of Israel by the Red Sea. Just like the children of Israel by the River Jordan. Rise up. Just like Abraham when the Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And we're told in the Epistle to the Hebrews, he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where it would be that he would go. But the Lord had spoken that he was to leave the place of his nativity. And he was to travel to a place that the Lord had promised him. And immediately he went. He walked by faith, not by sight. My beloved spake. And I was thinking of that word that the Lord, he spoke to the disciples in the last chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. As we're told in Luke, he led them out as far as unto Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And we read this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Listen, poor trembling sinner, listen, all power, not some power. He's the omnipotent Saviour. He's the almighty Saviour. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Why? Because all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and on Monday evening there'll be a prayer meeting followed by a church meeting, and Mr. Tim Pocock is expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn number 14. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. Hymn number 14.
now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.